boys and girls. This is Aunt Martha. And this is tape number 4. On each tape, I have told you a story about Maddie, which is a true story about a little girl. Let me review for you. Maddie was 4 years old when her papa died in their home in Canada. Their pastor, Oscar Burkholder, helped Maddie's mother and the 5 children so much. In the next year, the family moved to Maryland to Grandpa's, and all the children went to live in different homes of relatives. Maddie was with her aunties, and her mama came there when she was finished with her work in town. These years were not easy for Maddie and her sisters and brothers. When Maddie was 8 years old and ready for third grade, she went to live in Pennsylvania with Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul. Now we will begin a new story about Maddie. This time it is Maddie and her ABCs. Before Maddie came to live with Cousin Emma, it seemed she never had a regular Sunday school. On weekends and over holidays, she stayed with different relatives, and they went to different churches. Maddie was all confused about Sunday school. She didn't learn to know any one teacher, and Maddie was not happy about the different Sunday schools. But Cousin Emma went every Sunday to the same church. When Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul moved to the farm, they were very near to their church. Church was very important to Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul, and they took Maddie along for every service. Maddie began to like her new Sunday school class. When Sunday school classes took their places on Sunday, all the children, big and little, got together in one room. The children stood in rows. Then one of the teachers led them in singing. Do you know some of the songs that Maddie sang? He sees what we do. He hears what we say. My Lord is writing all the time, time, time. He sees what we do. He hears what we say. My Lord is writing all the time. Another song she sang was this one. We didn't come here to stay always. We didn't come here to stay always. We didn't come here to stay always. Oh, children, seek a home in heaven. Oh, children, seek a home in the sun-bright clime. Oh, children, seek a home in the sun-bright clime. Oh, children, seek a home in the sun-bright clime. Oh, children, seek a home in heaven. Another song that she sang in her Sunday school was, I think when I read that sweet story of old, when Jesus was here among men, how he called little children as lambs to his fold. I should like to have been with him then. I should like to have been with him then. I should like to have been with him then. How he called little children as lambs to the fold. I should like to have been with them then. Maddie sang and sang. She loved these songs. There were other songs too. Then they all went to their classes. Maddie's junior class was out in the auditorium on the side benches. Curtains were pulled around, and Sister Ellen was her teacher. Sister Ellen taught the Bible lesson so well and made everything so interesting. Maddie loved to hear lessons from the Bible. She had her very own Sunday school book and Bible. Cousin Emma helped her every Saturday to study. This helped Maddie to understand the lessons better and to be able to answer questions. Then one Sunday, Sister Ellen made a suggestion. I want to teach you your ABCs. Maddie wondered what she meant. I already know my ABCs, Maddie said to herself. Sister Ellen exclaimed, We will all learn verses from the Bible that begin with letters from the alphabet. I will give you a card each month with 5 or 6 verses. You can learn these at home, and we will review them here in class. Now, Maddie liked to memorize, but some of those verses looked so difficult. But Sister Ellen had said they only needed to learn 5 a month. That didn't seem to be too much. But at Crane School, she had a poem to learn every month, and so all this would keep her busy. Every week, Maddie tried hard to memorize her ABC verse. Cousin Emma learned them with her, and that was a great encouragement. As they did chores together, they would say the ABC verses. In her quiet bedroom, she would lie in bed saying her verses. This helped her when she was lonely and sad. You see, there were still times when Maddie felt sad and missed her mama. She visited her sometimes, and that was always wonderful. But afterward, Maddie acted unhappy for a while, and Cousin Emma dreaded to have Maddie make these visits. It was because Maddie was confused with her life and all that happened to her. She didn't try to be naughty or pouty when she came home. Her love for Sunday school and Sister Ellen helped Maddie, and she was glad for projects to help her keep her busy. She was glad to learn the ABC verses. Boys and girls, on the other side of this tape, I'm giving to you ABC verses, something like Maddie may have learned. Play them over and over to learn them yourselves. You will never be sorry, and God will be praised. Some are parts of longer verses. Are you brave? Look in your Bible and learn the whole verse. May God bless you as you hide God's Word in your heart. This story is titled Susie's Handicap by Lynn Carpenter and used for this tape with permission. Run, Susie, run! Susie stretched to run faster as her teammates cheered her on. Third base, she was safe. Could she make it home? Out! Cried the catcher. He tapped Susie as she touched home plate. Or was he ahead of her? I'm not either, Susie puffed. More arguing followed. We'll call it out, the teacher's firm voice settled the question. The lively game resumed and everyone played with enthusiasm. That is, everyone but Susie. Inside, Susie was upset. How did the teacher know she was out? I know he didn't see me, she mumbled to herself. He said that because he doesn't like me. Susie's unpleasant day had started that morning when she suggested they play prisoner's base for recess. Immediately, the boys had disagreed. Now, let's keep on with softball, one of them had spoken quickly. The majority of heads nodded in agreement. We'll play ball, then, the teacher had agreed. Susie felt hurt. Why didn't the others like her idea? Couldn't they play something different once? The day moved on. Fifth grade English, the teacher called. Papers rustled and soon the grading began. You'll need to do your lesson over, the teacher said as he was standing by Susie's desk. A 55% is too low. I think you can do better. Do you need help to understand it? Wordlessly, Susie shook her head. Have the teacher help her? When he was so strict, she had to redo her lesson. Today, she didn't want his assistance. Why didn't Roy have to redo his lesson? His 58% was almost as bad as her grade. Tomorrow is Friday, the teacher was speaking to fifth grade. How many compositions for this week are done? Well, everyone raised their hand but Susie. Even Roy's hand was waving in the air. I'm even slow. Susie added this thought to her self-pity. The afternoon was not a good one for Susie. At last recess, the opposing side was ahead with one more run than Susie's team had. That's another reason the teacher said it was an out, Susie brooded in the corner of her seat in the van on the ride home. He didn't want to let my side win. Then it would have at least been a tie. Around her, the van load of students were laughing and chatting merrily. Susie sat silently. Her self-pity was growing rapidly. Why didn't someone tell her what was so funny? Why was everyone laughing? Friday morning, Susie had a headache. After all, nobody seemed to care how they treated her. Mother insisted she get up early enough to work on her composition and to do the breakfast dishes. Father told her to hurry to the breakfast table. Her little brother called her slow when she was the last one to the van that morning. Who would hurry to get to school when the teacher wasn't fair? And if anybody at home cared about her, they would have helped her to find her books so she could be on time. Rain pelted against the windows as they rode to school. Well, no ball games today, she thought with selfish relief. At noon, one of the girls was showing pictures of a trip she had taken. The teacher had gone through them and agreed that today would be a good day to share them. Susie sat at her desk, working on the nearly due composition, while the other students gathered around the pictures. It was rather hard to finish a composition with the people around her enjoying the pictures. But Susie sat alone, and no one coaxed her to come join them. They don't even miss me, she thought. All done? The teacher gave an approving smile as Susie handed her composition in. Almost! Susie felt her resentment melt away, but she wasn't ready to let it go. Somehow she was enjoying it too much to chase it away. English class came again. Susie had forgotten to redo yesterday's lesson, and she had skipped a part in today's assignment. 63%, she whispered when the teacher called for her grade. What did you say? The teacher frowned slightly. What was happening to his usual A student? Susie repeated her grade with red cheeks. Now, why did the teacher ask her to repeat it? Did he want her to say it twice so everyone else could hear it? Susie mulled over this new thought. No doubt she would have to do this lesson twice, too. At the end of the day, the teacher produced a bowl of delicious-looking red and yellow apples. I will set this in the back, he announced. Each of you may take one as you file out. The students were delighted with the treat. Shining eyes smiled their thanks. Susie decided to file quietly past the bowl. Almost she took one, but no, the teacher didn't like her. Maybe he didn't bring enough for her. Susie, the teacher said kindly, don't you care for an apple? Quickly, Susie took one then and hurried away. He just did that to be polite. Really, he's watching me like a hawk, she thought gloomily. Last one in the van again, and nobody cares if I am. Susie plopped down in the corner and sighed. Life seemed to have a lot of problems. Carelessly, noisily, she set the supper table. "Susie," Mother commanded firmly, "do your job right." "Sloppy Susie," Evan teased. "Sour Susie is better," Brent commented. "She's sour all day at school and comes home still sour." "I'm not sour." Tears began to push out of Susie's eyes. "Boys are mean. Nobody's nice to me. Nobody cares," she burst out. She turned and ran to the solitude of her bedroom. Alone in the cool darkness, the tears fell unchecked. "Supper time, Susie," Mother's gentle voice reached her. Susie jerked awake. Why was she sleeping before supper? Then she remembered. Things had gone wrong, and she had come to her bedroom to be alone and sort out her thoughts. She must have cried herself to sleep. But it was after supper that her thoughts actually began to get sorted out. "Come to the living room," Mother invited. "We have some talking to do." "What is bothering you?" Mother began gently when they were alone. Tears threatened to surface again at the kindness and caring Susie felt in Mother's voice. It all came back in a rush. "The teacher doesn't like me," Susan complained. "He picks on me. He doesn't want my side to win in ball. He makes me do my lessons over when he doesn't make Roy do his lessons when he gets a bad grade. I'm the last one in the van. People laugh at me, and nobody cares." She wailed in frustration. "Susie," Mother questioned gently, "do you feel sorry for yourself?" Susie nodded. How did Mother know? "You have feelings of self-pity," Mother continued. "Self-pity is a handicap. It cripples the mind until you cannot see things clearly. You imagine that things that are not true. Now let's go over what you told me. Did your side win any ball games this week?" Susie thought. Well, really, they had won on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. "I guess we did," she answered reluctantly, "but the teacher made me take an out and I wasn't." "Susie, is it that important?" "Things like that can be hard for the teacher to decide. I'm sure he did the best he knew. You are a poor sport if you cannot accept the teacher's decisions." "Now, about redoing your lessons. Did the teacher change his rules?" Susie shook her head. "Has Roy ever been able to get an A?" Again, Susie shook her head. "You know you've been last in the van, and I have noticed that. But it's not been necessary. Your self-pity has made you tired, careless, and cross. Now let's look at the other side, other statement that you made. That nobody cares for you. Nobody does anything for you. Who sent the rain today?" "God." "Who provided a house for you to live in?" "Father." "Who cooked your breakfast?" "You." "Who packed your lunch?" "Julia." "Who gave you an apple?" "The teacher." "Who did your chores when you were sick?" Susie squirmed uncomfortably. "Brent." "And who remembered your birthday this year and forgot the others?" "Grandmother." "And you can truthfully say no one cares?" Mother looked at Susie closely. "No," Susie admitted sheepishly. Her walls of self-pity were crumbling fast. "I have two things for you to do," Mother continued. "First, you need to apologize to your brothers for calling them mean. Then tomorrow, I want you to make a list of anything kind, big or little, that anyone does for you all day. Then we will talk about it in the evening." It was hard to apologize to Brent and Evan. They in turn said they were sorry for calling her names. It was good to have it off her mind. Saturday morning, Susie was a willing helper. After breakfast, Julia dried the dishes for her. Usually that was Susie's job. It would be a good time to start your list, Mother reminded her. She handed Susie a piece of paper divided into two columns. The first column was labeled, Who Cares for Me? And the head of the second column was, What Did They Do for Me? Mother had the first one filled out for her. God cares. He gives me another day. On line two, Susie wrote, Julia cares. She dried the breakfast dishes. Then Mother cares, and she prepared breakfast. By noon, Susie had more to add to the list. Brent started the lawnmower. Julia combed my hair. Mother washed my clothes. Evan helped empty the trash. Julia ironed my Sunday dress. Father fixed my bicycle. At bedtime, Susie had a nearly full sheet to hand to Mother. Do you still feel sorry for yourself? Mother asked. No, Susie admitted. Everyone is kind to me. That's what I wanted you to realize, Mother approved. It is a serious handicap to let self-pity dominate your thinking. There are adults who get in the rut of self-pity. They aren't sure they can do anything right. They wait for compliments from others and feel hurt if they don't receive them. Sometimes they enjoy feeling they have a hard life. They may begin to think God cheated them. This is wrong. Father and I do not want our girl to get in that rut. It can be a long road out. Susie, do you understand what I am saying? Susie nodded her head. At least she had grasped part of it. Maybe when she was older, she would understand it more fully. Maddie's ABC verses. A. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. B. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. C. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. D. Daniel 1:8a. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8a. E. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Matthew 7:13. F. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. G. Psalm 48:1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Psalm 48:1. H. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. I. John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. J. Matthew 7:1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Matthew 7:1. K. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. L. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. John 14:1. M. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10. N. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. O. Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119:18. P. Psalms 51:7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 51:7. Q. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. R. Ecclesiastes 12:1a. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1a. S. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. T. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. U. Isaiah 9:7a. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9:7a. V. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:19b. W. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. X. John 3:3b. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3b. Y. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Matthew 5:14. Z. Titus 2:14b. Zealous of good works. Titus 2:14b. Boys and girls, hide these verses in your heart as young boys and girls, and you will have them all your life. Maddie loved these verses, and you can love them too. Love God's Word. Mary's New Friends. Mary ran across the Bible conference grounds to Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty was finished helping in the kitchen of the campground. And Mary was glad. She loved her Aunt Betty. Together they chatted happily. Aunt Betty, do you know who I saw? I saw a man who had bumps all over his face. He looked so queer. And I heard him talk unusually, too. But Do you know, Grandma told me not to stare or point at him. She told me to not go close to him. Why, yes, Mary, I saw him at lunchtime. We must never stare or make fun of handicapped people. That is true. But do you know what I think? I think we ought to learn to know this handicapped person. His wife is also handicapped. She has a walking problem. Oh, no, Aunt Betty, I'm afraid of him. Afraid of him? Well, now, Mary, you know God has as many kinds of people. Are you afraid of John at our church? His crippled body is not even thought about because we all love him so much. And Grandpa Jones is blonde. And you can see Uncle Joe walk with a limp. Are you afraid of any of them? God loves us all. So this man is not one to be treated differently or to be afraid of. Well, Mary was not sure she agreed with Aunt Betty. It was after Aunt Betty finished in the kitchen the next day that Mary and her aunt were chatting again. Suddenly the man Mary had seen earlier came near where they stood. Near him was his wife on a three-wheeled cart. Aunt Betty stepped up to the couple. Hello, we would like to meet you. I am Betty Martin, and this is my niece, Mary Myers. Mary was holding back beside Aunt Betty's skirt. Why, hello, greeted the lady pleasantly. We are Melvin and Martha Yoder. Mary was looking at her cart. Do you like my cart, Mary? The man stepped up and said, see, this button is a horn. Toot, toot. Mary continued, shyly standing beside Aunt Betty. But as Sister Yoder talked, Mary sort of forgot to be afraid. Aunt Betty expressed interest in the reason that Sister Yoder was on the cart. She saw the leg brace that she wore. What has happened to you? Why must you need help? Well, I had polio years ago when I was 18. Recently, I have been having pain and weakness. They call it post-polio syndrome. I still can walk, but this helps me. I feel better when I don't walk much. Mary kept glancing at Brother Yoder. He smiled warmly. Sister Yoder kept looking lovingly at her husband. He had shown Mary how the horn worked. She was feeling more friendly, even though his face looked odd. You wonder about Melvin's rough skin, don't you? And he also has garbled speech. Well, when God planned his brown eyes and his hair, he also programmed him to have these skin tumors all over him, and they continue to grow as he gets older. They don't hurt him. Do you like to learn big words, Mary? His condition is called neurofibromatosis, which means fibroid tumors on nerves. We call it NF for short. His speech is caused by NF2. He's such a great help to me. God planned for us to help each other, and we are so blessed. Mary smiled. Now she felt that she was making new friends. As the Yoders left, Aunt Betty said, Mary, God wants us to be kind to everyone. Especially does he want us to be friendly. This is even to those who look differently, or act differently, or talk differently. it's best to visit with them, just as if they had no problems. Let's always be open and friendly instead of avoiding them. That is God's way. Mary smiled. She felt better now, having met this couple. Aunt Betty, thank you for being brave to talk to the Yoders. I guess your way is best. Grandma didn't want me to go close to them. She didn't understand. Talking to them makes me feel better. It makes them feel less different, too. I can see that it is God's way and the best way. This story is The Bitterness of Life.
Mama, Mama, help me!
Ben cried outside the window. Mama hurriedly ran to find Ben all muddy and bloody.
Whatever happened, Ben? She asked as she helped the limping boy into the kitchen.
Between sobs, Ben told her,
You know that back hilly lane behind the barn? Well, it's usually fun to come down that hill fast on my bike. This time, I hit a rock and I wrecked. I fell off and slid on my back, right into that big puddle. Oh, my back hurts me so bad.
Mama had been removing his muddy shoes. Then she unbuttoned his torn and bleedy shirt.
Oh, Ben, you have deep scratches and there's so much dirt in them. I'll really need to be sure you get clean. First, I want you to go take a shower. Come to the bathroom. Oh, no, Mama, it hurts too much.
No, you must come.
Ben cried some more as the warm water showered over him behind the curtain. Oh, Mama, it hurts so bad.
Ben, life has hard experiences, and this is one you must endure. Use soap and really get clean, then I will clean your back scratches. Soon Ben had on clean clothes except for his shirt. Mama had him climb up on the kitchen counter where she could reach him real well, and there he lay down.
Oh, Mama, you are hurting me, Ben screamed. Please stop.
Ben, if I don't get these clean, you will have infection. You must lie still. I'll soon be done for this time. Now, I'm ready to put on this antibiotic cream. Ben climbed down slowly as Mother helped him to put on a soft t-shirt under his shirt.
Oh, Mama, thank you, thank you. It still hurts, but it doesn't hurt as badly as before.
That night after supper, Mama talked to Father and Ben. The conversation at supper had been all about Ben's bike accident. Now Mama was saying, today when I was working on Ben's back, I noticed his backbone isn't straight like it used to be. Ben, you're growing a lot this year. We need to have Dr. Brown look at your back to be sure that all is okay. Later, in Dr. Brown's office, the doctor was showing Mama and Ben x-rays of Ben's back. You are a fortunate boy. Your spine is just starting to curve. We call this scoliosis. But what will need to be done now is to have you measured for a brace, which will be firm across your back and under your arms, and which will strap across your chest. You will wear it every day, all day, except for 1 hour, when and all night. But you can take it off for your shower or bath.
Well, how long will I need to wear a brace? Ben asked.
Ben, You will be wearing a back brace for several years. You will do well, I know. You will be brave, and I will help you. When Mama and Ben drove home, Ben was very quiet. At home, he went into his room, and he didn't want to come out for supper. Ben, Father called softly, may I come in? Yes, sobbed Ben from behind the door. You are very sad, Ben, aren't you? I care so much about you. I'm sorry about your back. We do want to help you. But above all, Jesus wants to help you. He'll help you be brave.
But, Father, I don't ever want to wear a brace,
said Ben. Ben, I know, and I care. Father sat on the bed, holding Ben closely. Now, Mama has a good supper. Let's go eat. Mama, Ben is feeling sad about wearing a brace. Yes, I'm sad too about him having to wear a brace. But I'm also glad he won't have to grow up with a crooked back. Let's go out for a walk after supper. That'll give us something to think about, and it'll help all of us to feel better. Next morning, Ben was watching Mama mix a chocolate cake. He still felt upset about the back brace.
Oh, why will I have to wear an old brace? I'll hate it, Ben fussed angrily.
Ben, do you like chocolate cake?
You know that's my favorite, Mama.
Well, here, taste this cocoa.
Oh, that's awful stuff. That will spoil the cake, Mama.
Well, then taste this soda. Oh, Mama, it's bitter.
That cake will be all spoiled.
No. Ben, this cake needs that cocoa and that soda to be good. Alone, it is bitter. But together, it will be a good cake. Life is like a cake. It has bitter experiences, like a bike wreck or wearing a back brace. But Jesus brings joy even in hard times. We must ask him to help us bear these times. All in all, then, Jesus can help us through. Life can be then sweet, even in bitter times. Let's ask him right now to help you. Ben and Mama bowed their heads in prayer.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.